Tonight's message, living stones.
Amen.
Living stones. You thought I was going to start throwing this thing. If your heart condemns you not, you have confidence. Okay? But we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. In this passage tonight, Peter writes, he says, "To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." See, Peter walked with Christ. He was one of the first that were called. And in Peter's walk with Christ, he was asked two key questions. So these two key questions that were asked of Peter, like the first question is found in Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 through 16. And Christ says, "He saith unto them," the disciples, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." At the end of Christ's ministry, when they were in the upper room, Peter is asked another question. And he's asked that question three times. And the last question is found in John chapter 21, verses 15. It's repeated in 16 and also in 17. It says, "So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs." In verse 16, he takes off the "more than these." He says, "Just lovest thou me." And he says, "Feed my sheep." In verse 17, he says, "Lovest thou me?" And Peter gets upset. He gets upset. And he says, "You know I love you." And he says, "Then feed my sheep." At first, Christ says, "Lovest thou me more than what? These." And then it just turns down to, "Lovest thou me?" So here we see these two key questions asked in Peter's life. And we need to consider the first of these questions tonight. And as we go through this message tonight, I want you to consider these three points. What was the impact of this question on Peter's life? Of this, "Who am I?" We know that very shortly thereafter, Peter comes and he says, "You're not going to go to the cross." And Christ turns around and says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Did I mess up a reference? Okay. And so my wife starts looking at stuff. It makes me nervous. Okay. You don't think I get nervous? I'm terrified up here, okay? But the issue is that said, "Hey, I'm not going to let that happen." Here's one who acknowledged God, and now he's saying, that's not going to happen. That's not acknowledging God. And then he goes on, he says, "I'll die with you, Jesus." And he says, you're going to deny me this night three times. So we see in this letter is written near the end of Peter's life a significant change. We need to understand what that impact is of this question on Peter's life. Secondly, let's look at it from our perspective. What has been the impact of this question on Christianity? Do you believe what the Bible says? Or do you believe what other people say about God? And how does that impact your life? And then the third question is, how did Peter understand the Lord's response to his answer? And we understand that in the passage that we just read. See, in Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20, we see that Peter was the stone, a little rock, kind of like this. He's hard-headed. Okay? We're hard-headed. But as we go through this passage in Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20, we see several things. I'm not going to go through the passage. I'm just going to give you a summary of that. Where was this first question asked? Well, it was asked in Caesarea Philippi. They had just gone on a retreat. They had just gone across the Sea of Galilee. They had just been, they just left an argument, a political argument. And now they are away from the religious leaders. Folks, if you want the answer to God's questions, you need to get away from the people that are sending bad information. I got a student in my Algebra 2 class, and all he does is he blurts out the wrong stuff. I can't muzzle him enough because it's all bad, and it influences. It has an influence on the people that they don't understand what the truth is. Because the first thing you hear is what you believe at times. And so Christ has gotten them away from the religious leaders, and he's going to talk to them one-on-one. They're away from the crowd. When was this question asked? In verse 13. Well, if you go to the front part of this, as they come across, he talks about beware of the leaven of the Sadducees and the disciples, those great theologian giants of the day. They were spiritually wired into God. They knew exactly what he meant all the time. We didn't take any bread with us. They said no. Talked about the doctrine. They were being warned of the religious leaders' doctrine. Folks, you can't have the right answers to God's questions if you're all messed up, if you're listening to other people instead of God. You can't understand the answers to God's question if you listen, if you have other thoughts and other beliefs that interfere with what the Bible says. Thirdly, who was asked this question? It was his disciples, those who had responded to Christ's call. He had called these 12. He called them out of their vocations. He called them from every area of life. One of them was the betrayer. One of them was the devil, and Christ knew that. But he called them and he said, I want you, the ones that walked with me and seen all this, I want you to understand that this is a very important question. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 22 and 23, it says that if you don't know Jesus Christ as the Son of God, you don't have the Father. You don't have the Father. And so he's asking this question to the disciples, the ones who had responded to his call. And folks, God calls us away. He calls us out of this world. He calls us away. He calls us to the truth. And he wants us to follow it. In verse 14, it says, what was the first answer to the question? Now the question is, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am? And you know what? We give the answer that we hear. And it's very, very tempting to give the world's answer to the world's questions. We need to give the Bible answer to the world's questions. Amen. We need to give a biblical answer. Amen. back to Christ. It needs to be inside of His Word, inside of His will, led by the Holy Spirit, taught by that. And we need to understand that. And that what they did is they answered to what they'd heard. Folks, do not get your theology from other people. Don't get your news off the internet. Bro. There's some goofy stuff out there. In verse 16, though, what is the right answer to the question? Now, when Peter's asked, he says, "Thou art the what? The Christ, the Son of the living God." That is the answer which is acceptable to God. It is time to start giving answers that are acceptable to God instead of thinking about what would be acceptable to the situation or to the area or to man. What was the Lord's response to Peter in verse 18? He says, "Thou art Peter." And he says, "Upon this rock I'll build my church." But then Peter gets it, but the world today doesn't get that. And he also says, verse 17, he says, "Flesh and blood didn't. You didn't figure this out on your own." Folks, God works in two ways. He works in general revelation through His creation. And His general revelation is creation. You go out there, it says, the heavens declare the handiwork of God. Romans chapter 1, it says that everything that's created shows that there's a creator. So that where people are without excuse. And we in our limited mind can say, there's got to be something bigger out there. But that's not the point. The point is, flesh and blood can't understand God. You need God to understand God. You need a relationship with God to understand God. And so now we come to verse 18 again. And what is the confusion concerning this answer? Well, some think Christ was saying Peter was the rock on which he would build his church. Folks, that is absolutely ludicrous. And here's the reason why. Why would God want to build His church on an imperfect person? Why would He want to build His church on someone that was double-minded a lot? See, it wouldn't make any sense. The rock is the fundamental truth that Jesus Christ is God. And He is the Savior. And you can't go, you can't do anything else except on that truth, except build on it. But there's still some people. Say He's the first pope. No. They killed Him! That makes no sense. That makes no sense. And it doesn't matter how many tombs you build. It doesn't matter how many basilicas you build. It doesn't matter. The issue is, what do you do with Christ? Who is He? He's the Savior. He's God incarnate. He is God the Creator. He's everything you need. Amen. Peter understood this to mean he was a stone in the church built on Christ, the rock. If you go back to our text, it says, in verse 5, it says, "Ye also, as what? Lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ, Jesus Christ." You know, I hate it when people put words in my mouth. And folks, we need to stop. We need to challenge people that put words in Peter's mouth. Put words in other people's mouths in the Bible that we know is not true. It has to agree with God 100%. See, Peter was the stone. Peter was the stone. The issue is, it's a Greek play on words. He's Petrus, a little rock. Something that you can build with, but it doesn't complete the building. The rock that Christ is talking about is a massive rock, a large rock. One in which we should, in Texas, build on. so our houses don't fall apart because they slide off. But you need to do it on bedrock. It's something that sticks out on a crate. It's something you can build a building on. You can't build a building on that. And so he says, hey, I'm one of these. I'm one of these. Now, so Peter realizes, like John the Baptist realized, that he must increase and I must decrease. In verse 4 of our passage tonight, Christians are living stones. It says here, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Peter calls all believers stones. Why stones? Why that? Well, you know something? There's nothing more deader than that. You can talk to it, and it doesn't do anything. You just try to clean it up, and it's still a rock. You can try to dress it up, paint it, whatever you want to do to it, and it's still a rock. And it's still dead. There is nothing more dead than a stone. So what's Peter saying here? He said, I'm not the one. I'm just a rock used by God. And oh, by the way, I was dead before I met God. See, this issue of being a stone is, it describes all the people without Christ. Because in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the first part it says, for the wages of sin is death. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, the second part of that says, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Romans chapter 6 says, if you are alive unto sin, you're dead unto righteousness. You can't do, there's none that doeth good. There's none that understandeth. No, not one. See, believers are stones that come to life. Okay? Living stones. Why are we living stones? Because when we're living stones, we declare the power of Christ to give life. And folks, it's time to stop acting like this and start acting like we have some life in your body. Very carefully, put it down. Okay? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, even when we were dead in sins, hath what? Quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Folks, I don't understand how people can call themselves Christians and they act like rocks. And that includes your relationship in your family. With your kids, at the workplace. It doesn't matter. We are now lively stones. They have life in them. There's no life in that because it's dead. But Christ comes in and our lively stones show, our life shows the power of Christ to quicken. And we need that. See, even the most desperate and simple can be saved. You know, Paul says, Christ came to save sinners, of which I am chief. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, it says, and you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that were against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. See, Christ is standing right in the way. He'll take you out of, sin's way. But if you don't, you'll stumble over it. You'll stumble over it. Now, let's go back to the Old Testament. I want you to consider the altar that was built at the Jordan River. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, They are getting ready to cross the Jordan River. And as they cross, they are given a requirement. They are to put an altar out there. Okay? And in verses 6 through 8, actually 5 through 8, of Deuteronomy chapter 27, it says, "And there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones. And thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereunto the Lord thy God. And thou shalt offer peace offerings and shalt eat there and rejoice before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly." See, there was a requirement for this altar. And the requirement is, you just take rocks that you can find and you build me an altar. You know, I love buildings like that. And you find a rock and you have to think about it and kind of like a jigsaw puzzle, put it in the right spot. And originally they didn't have any mortar or anything in there. They just stacked them up together. Folks, this is how God builds a church. I want you to imagine that this is the body of Christ, the church. And every one of these stones in here is us. Is you. Is you. The issue is, living stones demonstrate variety in the church. Now, in this altar that they built, there couldn't be what? Any iron tool on it. See, the issue is the church is built of God-made stones. There's no issue of man in there. The way that God made that stone is the way it's supposed to be used. The other thing about this altar is that it was supposed to be what? Whole stones. Folks, to live for God means it's all of us. If you just give a part of this, it won't work. It won't function. The other thing is, what were they doing on the altar? They gave peace offerings. They rejoiced to the Lord. They remembered what God was doing here. And it says, you'll write all the law on the stones. And folks, we have the law of God written in our hearts, that we know these things. So the church is built of God-made stones. No two stones are exactly alike. You could spend, I'll give any kid $10. No, look at that. They all paid attention. If you could go out, you could find me a stone that looks exactly like that. Has to be the right shape. Has to have the right color. And what would you say? That's impossible. Folks, God makes us unique. Amen. We're saved by a common Savior. Amen. But we're unique so we can have our unique traits go into the building of the church. That's right. Jesus will use each of us in a special way by the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, it says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." You know, Peter had walked with Christ. He had seen the internal conflict between the disciples. And as he nears the end of life, he gets it. And he writes this letter to us so we get it also. It's not about us, it's about God. It's about being changed from being dead to being alive. It's being put into God's house the right way as a lively stone. And we're built up into something that God can use. So we need to understand that Peter was the stone just like we are. We all have to come to this position that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Amen.
And it has to be revealed spiritually to us, not by flesh and blood. We need to understand like Peter understood. He says, ye are, that included himself. We are living stones. And then lastly, Jesus Christ is the cornerstone.
Amen.
He is the cornerstone. In verse 4 it says, disallowed of men, but what? Chosen of God. In verse 6 he says, wherefore also is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. See, Christ is the only foundation to build our lives on.
Amen.
In Matthew chapter 7, Christ gives the illustration of the house that was built on the rock and the house that was built on the sand. And he says this. In Matthew 27, verses 24 and 25, he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them.
Amen.
Not just hearing, mm-hmm. You got to do it.
Yes.
You got to trust it. You got to have faith in it. I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And now it's the same word that's used in Matthew 16 for rock. Something that's substantial, that you can build on. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, Paul writes, says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Christ is the only foundation to build our lives on. Don't look into Christian philosophy. Look into Christian truth.
Amen.
Look into biblical truth, what God says. Don't follow some man. Follow Christ.
Amen.
He's the head of all things. This foundation is strong because it's on solid rock. My hope is built on nothing less than what? Than Jesus' blood and righteousness. In Christ alone, my hope is found. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4 says, he is the rock. Now, not the actor. Okay. I knew some of you thinking that way. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. Psalm 18 verse 2, the first part. The Lord is my rock. So here's the point. You've got to make the rock your rock.
Amen.
If you don't make the rock, you're missing the point. You're missing the point. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. And we know the other side of the parable. All those who do not build upon him build on sand. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 26 through 27, which closes that little passage out, it says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, Pharisees, the religious people, people who think they're too good, people who think they need it, it said, and doeth them not, shall be likened to a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Total destruction. Total annihilation. Folks, build your life on Christ, and you will have a heavenly home built in heaven, a mansion. Don't build your life on Christ, and you'll slip off into the quicksand. It's a choice that we all have to make. Verse 7 here, it says, "Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious." Now, there's a contrast, folks. The way you feel about Jesus should be different now that you're saved. Can't be the same as the world. And it says, "But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense." In John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, it says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." As we said this morning, that those that gladly received his word were baptized, and they were added unto them 3,000 souls. And they what? Continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Folks, this issue about I'm just going to come and sit in the pew, sit in the seat, and do nothing during the week for God. You're not building anything. You're not building anything. He gave them power to become the sons of God, to look like Him, to act like Him, to talk like Him, to witness for Him, even to them that believe on His name. We have a choice tonight. We have a choice tonight. We can either do what God says to do, or we can be like what we see here in John chapter 1. Will you reject Christ or build your life on Him? You know, I find it astounding. In San Antonio, they start all these building things. And you see it. You see it, there's a slab, and that's it. Or there's a slab and there's a skeleton of a building, and that's it. God doesn't want us to be incomplete. He wants us to be complete. We can have a slab, which is Christ. But what are you doing to build on that? I want you to have, as you go down and you look at any incomplete building in San Antonio, ask yourself this question: is this me? Is this me? My walk with Christ. Because if you're just stopped, you're rejecting Him. And you're not growing. And you're incomplete. We're supposed to be complete in Him. Oh, God wants you to build your life upon Him. Let's do that. We need to be transformed from stones to servants. Verse 9 here as I close says, "But ye are what? A chosen generation. A royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people that should what? Show forth the praises of Him who had called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Let's walk in His light. And let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this word. Father, help us to be lively stones and not dead things. Lord, I pray that you send revival, Lord, in each one of our lives. Father, send revival in our families. Lord, send revival in our church. Lord, help us to be lively stones that have come out of darkness into light, and help us to follow you with all of our heart, to be whole stones that you can use to be fit into your building and be an integral part of the gospel message and the gospel ministry. Lord, be with us time of invitation. Help us to be obedient to you and answer your call. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.